So hi, it's Vidya Tara back again in the couch room. And I'm still standing in for our intrepid reporter, Parami, who's still down in London. And with me is Damaretti, who's chair of the college. And we're going to have a bit of a chat about the meeting as a whole. The meeting came to an end this morning with those who are left over doing some cleaning up. And yesterday we had a business meeting, which is why we didn't do an audio boom last night. Because it was mainly an AGM, so it was just very much about process. So, Damaretti, how have you found the last 10 days?
I mean, apart from tiring. They were great, actually. It was but probably one of the most substantial meetings we've had, I think. So, I mean, a couple of really big topics and quite complex topics. Actually, the discussions I thought were really interesting, really constructive. So now I'm sort of at the end of it, feeling quite kind of pleased by how it's gone.
And what was the highlight for you?
So this is me thinking, which I guess doesn't come.
Yeah, I could describe what that looks like.
Yeah. to tell you the truth, the highlight, although it was the hardest work of all, was probably the last couple of days in the study. So we had Sabuti having a go at the loose theme of it was consciousness, and the basic model was a Yogacara model. It was based very loosely on Vasubandhu's 30 verses. So we had that kind of model of the eight vijnanas, but Sabuti, if there was a question about the Yogacara model, Sabuti would try to clarify it by quoting Schopenhauer, with which people were even less familiar. And if there was a question about the Schopenhauer, he would move to Kant, as a way of explaining that, which was impressive, if not always quite doing the job of clarifying, but just now and again, actually. I suppose one of the things that's interesting about that whole Yogacara model is you get this sense of the mind as a sort of dynamic process operating on different levels of depth, and then a sense the whole splitting of experience into self and other coming comparatively late. Superficial. So even though it was, I mean, it really was a couple of days of quite demanding thinking and some quite demanding listening, there were definitely moments in it where, you know, you get a wee flash of lightning and something got seen a little more clearly. Mm. So that would be the highlight. Also, it meant for that bit I wasn't working so hard.
Yeah,
I wasn't up front trying to steer 30 different opinions or 24 different opinions to some sort of consensus.
Yeah, although, I was just thinking when you were talking about it being, you know, one of the best meetings you've had, it's also, you know, aside from you've got a couple of new members, but really, most of you guys have been together now doing meetings for quite some years. Are you getting a sense of it getting a real depth in that group?
Yeah, I mean, to tell you the truth, excuse me, I mean, I think we got to start with that kind of depth to some extent. So I mean, like, the nature of the college is that, you know, like the core group, the group that sort of Bani himself nominated were people that he had worked with who knew each other from the late 60s, early 70s. So the college has always had that kind of core of very close relationships at its heart. And then a way that carried on, you know, like the big influx was in 2003. And I guess that did take a bit of bedding in. But even then, it was people who, you know, like, I joined the college at that time. I joined it with people who I'd worked with in the LBC Council from the mid-80s. You know, like, I did 20 years of working with Rantadan, Nimaitri, Karnamaya, Mahamati. I'd worked with Sabuti as president. I was a dean at Padma Vajra. So that, you know, like, I think there's always been that network of people who know each other in depth. And, you know, like with 30 people in a room or like 20 plus people in a room, you've got to do some work to figure out the dynamics. And even just, you know, or saying to somebody else, you've got real pros and cons with that group. You know, you've got a group of people who are pretty self-aware, who are pretty emotionally positive, who are on the whole in good relationship with each other, but who definitely have opinions. So you've got a room full of 25 people and 25 opinions. So, yeah, I mean, it is a harmonious meeting. It's a thoughtful meeting. It's a meeting where, you know, like people now and again, I know you've covered this before, but they ask about the college opinion on things. And I mean, you've got people who are thoughtful and a real range of opinions. So you're always engaging with a process of really trying to explore something, getting all the starting points, all the concerns into the room and trying to move towards, well, I'm going to say move towards a consensus, but there was quite a big discussion on this one about kind of the in different ways the responsibility of the college and how much you have individual voices, how much you're trying to get to a single voice. But one of the things that came out, like, I think particularly on issues of deeper spiritual principle, deeper spiritual experience, I think you really do now and again get this sense of a coincidence of wills. It's sort of something where, in a sense, it's not just a range of opinion, and it's not just people compromising, it's actually getting deep enough or deeply enough into something where you start to get a coming together on a sort of deeper level that arises out of a certain sort of depth of communication, actually, and a certain depth of thought, a certain depth of...
And communal practice as well, as in practicing together.
Practice, yeah.
It's interesting because there is, you know, we were talking about this briefly a couple of days ago, was just the fact that it can be quite confusing because at one level, if you're looking at ordination, then the college has to be unified in terms of making or putting forward people on the basis of their effective going for refuge. I mean, that is the integrity of our ordination system, depends on the college having, you know, a unified voice on someone's readiness. Mm-hmm. So at one level, people see you as having a unified voice, but probably less so people in a, have an opportunity to see that there is actually a very diverse, at times, there are very diverse voices about a range of other things. So it's that thing of actually being able to hold both the college and the unity that comes from, in, particularly in the ordination process, but the fact then that actually this thing is made up of a diverse group of people.
You know, Parami, I think it was reminding me of this analogy that Banti used a few years ago when he was talking about the nature of spiritual community. He was talking about, like, that the image was a lamp and a lampshade. I don't know if Parami actually mentioned this.
No.
But she was saying that the analogy that Banti used was that as your practice goes deeper, in a sense, the light in the individual practitioner gets brighter, you know, so you can see something more clearly that experienced practitioners share. But you're saying as the light gets brighter, you can see all the patterns on the lampshade more clearly, and even you can see all the cracks in the lampshade more clearly.
So
you get this sort of funny paradox where there's something that's shared that gets more obvious and more distinct, but there's also something that's really an individual thing, you know, it's somebody's character that also paradoxically gets more distinct. So, you know, I think if you're around a spiritual community, what one of the surprises almost is that you've both got this sense of something shared, but it's not that people get more, in a way, more alike, it's almost like in a way they get more distinct. But I think one of the things is, in terms of discussions that are on that deeper level, actually you do start to get back to that shared ground, that unified ground. And quite a lot of the discussion, I don't want to make it sound like too much work, and in a way it's a sort of simple thing, but there was a lot of emphasis in the college for a number of years on ordination training.
Yeah.
It was maybe partly as a new generation of public preceptors sort of learned what they were doing. But one of the things that's become a bit clearer in the last few years, so for example, there's been feedback from the European chairs, feedback from the International Council, definitely asking for the college to be more explicit about their opinion around certain issues.
Yeah.
And part of that discussion, I think, has been the college having to clarify its own role. And you know, like I remember in the International Council, going back to Banky's handover, or handing on, and I think it was 2000. And you were there when I was talking about this, Veritas, you might remember this, but one of the things he said was the one explicit responsibility the college had was for ordination, so that's nice and clear. And I'm not going to remember the exact words, but the second thing that he said was that he wanted the college basically to carry on doing what he had been doing, more or less in the spirit he had been doing it in, which was a very evocative phrase, but maybe wasn't a very detailed job description. Yeah. So I think in recent years, partly in response to what people at the ECA and the International Council have been saying, we've been coming back to that. And put very, very simply, you know, like one of the things that became clear, partly because we were talking about the college working through Adistana, but just saying that the college has a broader responsibility. I'm trying to remember how it was put in the discussion, but for broadly for kind of tending and passing on, I think it was put, the spirit of the Tree Ratna community, and in particular a sort of responsibility for how Banty talked in terms of four lineages.
Yeah.
So a responsibility for making sure that what's that in passing on the lineage of practice, the lineage of teaching, lineage of inspiration, and the lineage of responsibility. So there's a certain responsibility, I think, you know, because what we were saying, it's a group of people who are experienced practitioners who've known each other for a long time. Banty described that the public preceptors is the group that's got the sort of senior most spiritual responsibility, and it's not to say that they're the most spiritually experienced, they're the most spiritually senior, but you've got this group of, there's no other group that brings together so many experienced people with such a kind of continuity, so it gives the college a particular role in relation to the making sure the sort of the spirit, the flavour of the teaching, the practice, the inspiration just gets tended, was the word that was used. And sorry, it's a long reply to a question, but coming back to this thing about the college position, I think on those issues of principle, actually there is quite a high level of well, coincidence of wills. And you know, like on this meeting, talking a bit about going back to Banty's phrase about a spiritual community needing a high level of commonality of practice, and recognising that that has to be something that supports individual practice, it supports, you know, not just people in general, but supports the what people really are like, what people's experience is really like. But there's a flavour to it that actually you can recognise to some extent, you can describe to some extent, you can support. So on the essentials, I think, certainly I'm quoting a Christian saint, but it was something like a unity in essentials and freedom in strategies.
What's that? Oh, that's, it also sounds very much like the way Indonesia describes itself, unity and diversity.
Yeah, I think the European Buddhist Union must have stolen that from Indonesia.
Yeah, probably.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, as Bertie says, it's very rare to find a thought that's not been pinched from somewhere else anyway. So the other thing, because I understand too, I think it was Mokshananda. Oh no, sorry, it was Padmavaja that brought it up. That Bhante had a little video message for all of you, going back to the six emphases as well.
Back to the six emphases. No, it was interesting that. So Mokshananda's been getting more and more interested in filmmaking.
Yeah.
So he's been wandering around with his video camera. I guess that'll hit the website eventually.
It will. It will.
But yeah, he videoed that little 5-minute exhortation from Bhante, just asking for a bit more attention to be given to the six emphases. So we'll certainly be coming back to that, I guess, in the next meeting, and just sort of trying to think through a little more carefully
how you would move that on
exactly. Yeah.
So it's coming up to 10 years of you being chair of the meeting, and so at the next meeting you're going to be
To
Sadaloka.
Talking a little bit with Sadaloka. So Sadaloka is very thoughtful, very systematic. He's carefully unhooking himself from the responsibilities that he's got at Padmaloka, and planning to move here in April next year. And the next meeting, the March meeting, will definitely be when that formal handover happens. So anytime I'm talking about it, it's happening early in the meeting, if you're on the first day. And anytime Sadaloka talks about it, it seems to be happening later in the meeting, if not on the last day.
Yeah.
But no, I really hope that the March meeting, sometime in that meeting, that formal handover will happen. Sadaloka suggested a ritual in the shrine room that involved handing something very heavy on from me to him, like a rock.
Well, probably about the size and weight of that Buddha that we've got in that shrine room.
There might be more elegant ways of doing it. But so in the March meeting, Sadaloka will formally become chair of the college. And I have to say, it's been fantastic being in this role and doing this job, but a couple of times in this meeting I've just been thinking how great they have somebody else standing up there running the meeting, and me just getting to be a disruptive voice from the back benches. I'm rather looking
forward to Peanut Gallery.
The Peanut Gallery.
Yes, well, Saluti in the AGM yesterday was fulsomely rejoicing in your merits and using the sort of words that my Max Belichick couldn't keep up with at the time, so no doubt there'll be some more rejoicing. But just quickly now, any reflections over the last 10 years?
I can't remember the last 10 years. I mean, I've been very aware of the last few years, like let's say the last 5 years.
Yeah.
I think probably the first 5 years were just learning what the job was and sort of learning, getting a sense of the movement as a whole. But I think the last few years have been really significant, actually. I think an awful lot of the work has been defined by the papers that have come out of the conversations between Bhante and Sabuti. And, like the 2009 paper, What is the Western Buddhist Order? Bhante described, he described in really strong terms, and I'm sure everybody remembers, but talking about it as his last will and testament, obviously him wanting to leave a definitive description of the order and movement, in preparation for his death, and talking about it as a refounding of the order. And a lot of the later papers that came out really were just expansions of points that had been made in those papers. So in that paper you've got Bhante describing the nature of the order, the core practices of the order, in a way we'll come back to some of the distinctive emphases, like that the emphasis that True Dat has put on building community.
Yeah.
Community is one of the most practical supports for practice, but also in a way one of the sort of deepest ways of self-transcendence
yeah.
being expressed and being lived. So I think in that paper that there's a really rich, really significant description of what True Dat is. And a lot of what we've been doing, looking at the implications for practice, looking at kind of organisational implications, like setting up the International Council as a direct response to a point
he made in that
paper about a need for more coordination between different groups of older members taking responsibility. I think Adistana, in other ways, part of the same project.
Yeah, I was going to say, it's almost a thread to Adistana as well in terms of what community might look like or encompass. Or
And a lot of it, you know, like it's been on a spiritual level and an organisational level in terms of bricks and mortar, trying to set up the conditions that allow a spiritual community to thrive and for something living to be communicated and, you know, to sort of grow more deeply. So I've got that quote coming through my mind that I think Padma Vajra and the March movement quoted Gustav Mahler. The gist of it was it a
tradition isn't
worshipping the ashes. Tradition's not worshipping the ashes, but passing on the flame. And I think a lot of the work of the last 5 years have just been the conditions that you need for that flame to be passed on.
And do you are you happy with the state the flame's in as you're passing it on? I could describe how he's looking at the moment.
I suppose my own sort of direct experience, actually, you know, like just coming from the college meeting and feeling that, you know, it's a privilege to sort of meet with people who've got a serious personal practice, who are in a depth of communication with each other. There's a real sort of spirit to that communication, and they're people who, with others, are involved in passing on the Dharma. So I suppose my direct experience is of something that's got real life in it. It's a group of people that I've got real admiration for.
Yeah. And it sounds too very much like there's, you know, a lot of excitement about the next generation to move in to those positions, you know, looking at that and really, you know, putting a focus.
It's been really interesting in a couple of different ways. I mean, partly at Adistana, but we were sitting in the community night last week, and we had people who were who've literally been here from the first weekend, like Sangadeva, I think, was here the week that the place opened. Him and Yashodeva involved from the get go in building the place. You had I mentioned you, Parimi, me. We were the kind of second wave when the white collar workers moved down, got away the builders. and then, you know, like the most recent people, Hattie and Anya, who were on the 5 year course. And sort
5 month course. I think it probably felt like
five years
to them.
5 years, the 5 month course. Yeah. But, you know, like watching them join the community, you can just see that shift in generations. Yeah. And as you say, with the public preceptors, like we've gone from the group of people who worked with Bhante at what's it called, Pundarika, in the 60s, to on the men's side, we've just had Maitreya Bandhu and Parma Bandhu join from India. We've had Yashu Sagar and Amrit Deep, who are, by our standards, young order members, sort of order members in their 40s, 50s. And the women, public preceptors, had a day looking at two generations younger, actually, and starting to be a little more thoughtful about, you know, people who are obviously taking that sort of responsibility, who are already, you know, really effectively passing the Dharma on, and looking at how they bring them into the preceptor's college. So no, it's sobering, actually. Yeah. You know, sort of, don't know how to say it, but you know, I open my wallet sometimes and I've got my senior rail card, I've got documentary evidence that I'm old. So yeah, it's kind of reassuring seeing a younger generation coming in. Looking through the office window yesterday to see Amala Vajra sitting at his computer, I think about 10 p.m. And again, I guess Amala Vajra's mid-30s, just watching that generation come here, start to work in those central areas of responsibility. Fantastic.
Yeah. So we might leave it there and save exciting topics like what next for you till the next meeting in March, when that might all be a bit clearer.
Yeah, I may actually know.
Yeah. And at which point, no doubt, there'll be a lot of rejoicing in the last 10 years.
As long as the word supererogatory gets used, as it was indeed yesterday.
That was the one that my spell check just gave up on. Yeah. So thank you very much, Damarati.
No, thanks, Vidyata. That was painless.
Yeah.